Starcom Radio Network, Ed Till Show, AM/FM stations all across America. I am a lifelong baseball fan, and it's a great question. Why doesn't America have professional women's baseball? Our guest is baseball historian and award-winning documentary filmmaker, John Leonano Dacus. John, welcome to the Ed Till Show on Starcom Radio Network. I apologize for the pronunciation. What's the right way to say your last name?
Leonidakis, and thank you for having me, Ed.
Now, listen, I'm a lifelong a baseball fan. I was alive, believe it or not, for the Mantle-Maris rivalry. Still have my T-shirt as a four-year-old at the time, and have been a fan ever since. This never dawned on me, which shows you how ethnocentric, how not outside the box baseball fans can be. This never even occurred to me. Tell us about, just for a moment, how exciting, how explosive women's baseball has been for Japan to get us interested.
Well, it's fascinating because, you know, Japan is miles behind the United States in terms of feminine rights and how they treat their women. But in Japan, baseball is not a national pastime. It is a national obsession. And so consequently, back in 2007, there was a girls' high school baseball tournament, and a company over there saw the passion and the grit that these women played the game with. And grit is something that is held in high regard in Japan from a cultural perspective. And so they started their own women's professional baseball league. Now, you have to take a step back and understand the Japanese do an excellent job of developing girls' and women's baseball skills from the time that they are very little on up through high school and so forth. So by the time they wanted to develop this professional league, they had excellent chops. The Japanese national women's baseball team is a dominant force in World Cup baseball. And most people don't even know there's a Women's World Cup baseball classic that's held every 2 years, and that began in 2004. But for the last, I think, five or six World Cups, Japan has just steamrolled everyone because they have the best coaching, the best equipment, the best facilities. They are fundamentally sound, and they are a force and magical to behold. So they've gotten that going since 2007. They have a lot of corporate sponsorships. The jerseys look like little NASCAR automobiles with lots of stickers and corporate sponsors on them. And they also have a television contract, I believe. So it's woven into their culture. And American women haven't had that yet because they haven't been given the opportunity to develop their skills on a national basis. And so it's an issue of access.
Right.
And American girls and women have been railroaded over the last 100 years
really?
Due to systematic discrimination.
It sounds crazy, right? In a world where they're literally blowing up buildings to get other things, this hasn't been something they've sought really hard, in my opinion, watching over the years. I have never seen a group emerge anywhere with coverage in the media, hey, women are being discriminated in baseball. So what is that about? Usually when they want it, they're on the 5 o'clock news saying very clearly what they want. 77 cents on a dollar since I was a kid. You know, it's never not been covered. How did this sneak in and they're this far behind in America? You know, not to compound the question, but it does remind you of the Russians with the gymnasts. If a country wants an athlete, whether it's backward like communism, uptight like Asia, or open in America where anybody gets anything they want on television quickly with shocking and graphic, you know, news coverage, this is quite a phenomenon.
Well, we're the biggest baseball story you haven't heard. We call it also a star-spangled scandal. And part of it is the reason we haven't been hearing about it is because American culture has kept women off the diamond, the baseball diamond, for the last 100 years. And really, we've only seen women's professional leagues back when we had a league of their own, the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League, that went from 1943 to 1954. Once that died out, we haven't seen a lot of women getting on the field. back in the 1990s, there were the Colorado Silver Bullets, and that was an all-women baseball team that barnstormed around America for 4 years. And then that died out, and then in 1997, there was the Ladies Professional Baseball League that took place in California and Arizona, and it only lasted for a year. So it's been difficult to sustain interest and a league, but it all goes back to a major issue that occurred in the early 70s. Little girls weren't allowed to play Little League baseball until 1974, and that was only because Little League was sued by the National Organization of Women, because the Little League found out that there was a girl named Maria Pepe playing on a team in Hoboken, New Jersey, and girls weren't allowed to play. So the Little League national office contacted that team and said, you're going to lose your charter unless you kick her off the team, which launched the lawsuit, which took 2 years. And basically what happened was Little League then started softball for girls who didn't want to play baseball with boys. And so they really flooded that particular opportunity. So what happens? Softball grows and becomes this institution, now offering college scholarships. There's television contracts. You see it on ESPN. But what happens as a result is that any girl who would like to develop as a baseball player, and baseball and softball are very different games. So they become, their development is short-circuited because they don't get the opportunity to play in high school. They're routinely told, baseball is for boys and softball is for girls.
Right.
And therein lies the rub.
Wow. You know, this is fascinating. It really is. The Sweet Spot is an original documentary series. Can we talk about this a little bit? It focuses on the human side of baseball. I think this is exactly where the big controversy lies, in the human side of baseball. Baseball, it tries, as you know, I'm a big fan, it tries to be a box score-oriented environment. Rules trump emotions, outbursts, rule, rule, rule. We got it right. It, you know, baseball fans are the great. George Will, I think, got me real impressed about 30 years ago when this serious journalist is another one with the pencil, and every pitch is remembered. 35 years later, it was a curveball that he struck. So there's a lot of human investment in baseball. Does this somehow lead to this horrible victimization you just described? I mean, it's a horrible victimization. Is that all the guys like George Will and me with the pencils? We want it to be the way we want it to be, and the world tells us what we're doing wrong. And therein lies the controversy. Who's going to tell us about baseball? Is that what the establishment did to keep women out?
Well, it's a pretty complex piece, but let me go back a couple of steps. First of all, narrative, stories are really at the heart of this game.
Right.
What happens when baseball fans go to the game, right? They share stories with each other. And for the last 30, 40 years, baseball fans like you and I, all we get served is who had the most home runs, who had the most RBIs. This is television series to look at the human side of the game, and our mission is to preserve baseball history, celebrate a love of the game, and share stories that transcend sport and capture the imagination. I want to transform how we think about baseball and go beyond the box scores and statistics to reveal the humanity that's woven into the game that we love. And so many people have said to me, you know, I don't even like baseball, but I like these stories.
That's
because
what I was
I can
afraid
relate
of.
To them.
That's exactly what I was afraid of. The people who don't love and cherish the game are being heard inside the game. Right there. That blows people out. Now, again, I understand where the owners are coming from. These seats are expensive. I don't care who goes to the game. I want these baseball parks packed. I got that. That's tough. That's the same art and commerce problem we always wind up with. Is this a private enterprise that I say what goes? Or is this a negotiation, you know, because something here is so special, I can't really own it. I can't really micromanage it. I can't have every single breath in and out of them managed by us. And, you know, there is a clash there. There's a controversy. The people that come in that don't like baseball, what do they like the most about the series that's kind of intriguing them, getting them interested in baseball?
Well, we're focusing on stories from, you know, people from across the baseball spectrum who weave the tapestry of baseball in America, and they're talking about racism. They're talking about issues of gender. We're looking at how art and literature impact the landscape of baseball, and along with war stories from baseball players that everybody loves to hear. But to answer your question, baseball, as far back as 1909, Albert Spalding proclaimed, baseball is America's game, it's a manly game, and therefore women can't play. And that really took root, and that's what's made it very difficult. Now, the other part of this equation is that Major League Baseball has a serious problem on their hands because their core audience is age 50 and older. That's baby boomers like you and I.
Right.
They're trying like heck to get younger generations, millennials on up, engaged and interested in the game to make them fans for life.
You got it.
The big issue is 50% of their audience has basically been excluded. Yes, women are welcome to join the game. You can count on one hand the number of female executives involved in the game, and you certainly don't see any women umpires. While the NFL and the NBA have women referees, Major League Baseball is years behind that from ever happening, maybe 3 to 5 years until we'll see someone on the field as an umpire. And that's crazy.
And wow. So what has happened in that area? Was it dormant up until recently, or they've been losing lawsuits for discrimination, et cetera, et cetera? What's the history of that? Women, you're right, why aren't women umpires? What happened? They weren't, right, they weren't allowed to submit apps? Their applications, is it like what's that movie, Casino, where they go, well, you know, you file your application, but they never make the call. They keep putting it on the bottom, and you never get called. So is that what women have they applied over the years and never got the call? And they never got Barbara, well, you know what I mean, Leslie Stahl? And where are the women in journalism covering? Do you know how great the umpiring would be? So this is new, or this has been going on and getting no coverage?
Well, baseball is the most conservative of our major sports,
right?
And any change comes at a glacial pace. But the larger piece is, this issue is not just about baseball. It's tied to the larger issue of gender discrimination in the United States.
Yeah.
And baseball has always been a reflection of American society, and many times that reflection is not very pleasant. So you have those things at play.
Yeah.
There are some cracks being made in the foundation of the Old Boys Network.
Mm-hmm.
There are some opportunities coming up for girls to play in National Girls Tournament. There's an organization called Baseball for All that's doing a terrific job creating opportunities for girls and women to play, coach, and umpire beyond the little league level. And it's important that girls can understand, hey, we could form our own teams, our own leagues, and this is how you initiate a grassroots movement to initiate change in culture.
You know, it does suggest for a moment that it didn't catch on its own, and we need to kind of make sure it catches on. How's the WNBA doing? Do you have interest in another sport that was male, and now in the summer? I was visiting over the holiday weekend. One of the gals in the house can't get enough of this WNBA. She's all over it. But she is one out of 30 people. She got no one to go watch it with her. But you know what I mean. It's another one of these all-male environments. They're pushing hard. They have a league. They're on television. Is this a parallel to that?
Well, I think it's a reflection of it. But I'm not a huge basketball fan, but I love soccer, and I love women's soccer, and the women's American United States team is a force. They're one of the best in the world.
Right.
They sold out the Rose Bowl, over 90,000 seats, when they played the championship game against China in the World Cup. I believe it was 1998. So women's sports can fill seats, get advertising dollars, and be a force. But what needs to happen to get a professional women's baseball league here in our country is to give these women and girls the opportunity to develop their skills in high school and club baseball, and give them opportunities to play in college, because that's how you get better. You get the better coaching, the better facilities. That's how anyone would get better. But until that happens, they're stuck in a do loop because softball meets the requirements of Title IX. And Title IX is basically says that if you're offering men's basketball in college or in high school, you need to offer the same to girls and women. And softball satisfies that requirement, and it's sort of nudging out any opportunity for women's baseball teams to occur.
You need Marissa Meyer kind of money, right, for a woman to get into a ownership position. What would it take for a woman to own in a, like right now we should look at Derek Jeter, right? He really wanted to get with the Marlins. First time he bailed, not enough cash, came back, more cash got in. Is that the top 1% of the 1% of the 1% who can even get a team and have a say-so?
Absolutely. But to be fair, there is a woman who is a part owner of the Colorado Rockies.
Nice.
So we do have that established, but
nice.
Face it, that's an anomaly. They're the exception rather than the rule.
John, you are a disruptor. I love you. I love what you're doing. I love your passion. I will say some of it is unsettling to us because I don't think a lot of us longtime baseball fans, we don't want to be accused of enjoying a conspiracy to out somebody else. We want to think don't want to think our fun is tainted with this conspiracy to punish so that we can't really have joy. We don't want that joy robbed. So you know where we're coming from. We want to see the women happy. We're men. That's the whole thing since the beginning, whether it's your mother, your wife, your new girlfriend, or your nurse at the end. Men want to please women. Yeah.
You would not believe the shocking stories I've been told by girls and women.
Yes.
Trying to play this game on boys and men's team. The physical and emotional abuse that goes way beyond the pale of the typical kind of verbal assault you would get. Some of these women have been subjected to attempted rape and even rape simply because they wanted to play our national pastime.
Right. There's got to be.
That is shocking.
It is.
And it's un-American.
Absolutely. That just can't be. It can't be tolerated at all. You're, as I said, a disruptor. I think we all love and especially appreciate documentary filmmakers. Because you do know how to make film, and you could just go make blow-up Iron Man movies if you wanted to. You choose to take a story like this, almost zero coverage that I'm aware of, and really elevate it. I know season 3 of the series, The Sweet Spot, is out in October. Can you give us a tease about what we're going to see? And for those of us who need to catch up with seasons 1 and 2,
sure.
Yeah, just give us a little quick summary.
Absolutely. Our show, The Sweet Spot, A Treasury of Baseball Stories, can be found on Amazon, Roku, Vimeo On Demand, and you can watch it on your mobile device, your computer at home, or your smart TV. Our first two seasons are already up, and it's totally binge-watchable, and it's an eclectic set of subjects and stories that we present. We've got some stories from Mudcat Grant and Jackie Robinson, as well as a couple of gals from the All-American Girls Professional League, one of my favorites, The Black Art of Catching, from two generations of professional catchers. But what you're going to get in season 3, we're doing something completely different. The entire season is devoted to this subject, and we're calling it Shutout, the battle American women wage to play baseball. And so every episode, They are all connected to each other, and it's such a big story that we wanted to devote the entire season to it because everybody I talked to said, I had no idea this was going on.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is. There's something uniquely American, and sometimes it's bad, sometimes it can be good, but we're ornery. We're really ornery when we get used to stuff. And then, like this does, this kind of puts a shadow on where we thought we were all cool. Oh, no, baseball's cool. We're fans. We're buddies. And had no idea inadvertently participating. It sounds like a social conspiracy. It really does. Whether it was voluntary and cognitive or not, secondary. Thank you for the visit today. Will you come back and talk more? Gosh, you're such a great social scientist on baseball.
It would be my pleasure, Ed. And I just want to let people know season 3 will air around October 15th. But as I said, they can check out season 1 and 2 right now. And if you're an Amazon Prime member, you can watch for free.
You got it. We can learn more, it says, at thesweetspot.tv. Is that correct?
That's correct. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
You're awesome. You're so cool, man. Thank you for being a great historian. Thanks for making the film. Thanks for getting me all riled up. And my baseball.
It's been my pleasure.
Yeah.
It's been my pleasure, Ed, and thank you so much for having me.
No, you bet. No, you got us going, baby. John Leonidakis on the Ed Till Show. Award-winning filmmaker, historian, but the guy's incredible. Producing award-winning media and experiences in the entertainment industry for 3 decades. His work has been seen at Disney theme parks worldwide, Seattle's Science Fiction Museum and Hall of Fame, along with hit music documentary The Wrecking Crew. Everybody's been talking about that. John has focused his work as a baseball documentarian and historian. His 3 films, wow, in the permanent collection of the National Baseball Hall of Fame, Cooperstown, are The Day the World Series Stopped, the second one, Not Exactly Cooperstown, and third, Hanno, A Century in the Bleachers. Now, he brings up this important question. How come women aren't in professional baseball in America? Great guest. It's the Ed Till Show, Starcom Radio Network. I'm late on an update on Hurricane Irma.